because an emergency fund maybe be things that we don't want to really think about and consider. When you look at this money as a way to support your healing, that might be the better way to kind of position it, like a healing fund. So when you put your emergency fund / healing fund there, you're able to allow yourself all this time to heal so you can figure out what you can do next. So you don't have to choose between, say, your health and your job security, or your happiness and your job security.
This is the Girl Behind the Hustle podcast, and I'm Lucretia L.C. Thomas. Each week, I'm chatting with some incredible women across all industries and backgrounds who've agreed to tell the truth about what it really means to hustle. It's time for us to be honest, to let other women know that they aren't alone, to share our mountains and our valleys, to practice self-care, and celebrate our wins together. It's time to hear the truth from the women behind the hustle. This is the Girl Behind the Hustle, and I'm your host, Lucretia L.C. Thomas. Hey, girlfriends, it's Lucretia. Thank you so much for tuning in today. With everything going on right now, the fact that you choose to tune in week after week, I am forever grateful for that. We are down to the last two episodes. This one, and then I have one more with a guest. And then the last one is going to be me just on a solo tip closing out the season. So if you've been reaching out to be a guest on the podcast, I'm not doing any recording right now, but I'll start up recording again in August. So that would be the perfect time to begin sending over those pitches for season 4. I can't even believe I'm going into season 4. I can't believe it's been 3 seasons doing this already. I'm forever grateful that I've been able to do this for 3 seasons and that you guys continue to listen and just hear the wonderful female founders and creators' stories. I'm grateful for that. So my main focus and goal right now has truly been to stay focused on my assignment, to hold fast to my joy. I think I talked about I've been doing these walks with Girl Trek daily. That has really been saving my joy and making me focus on peace. So I just implore you to find something that allows you to take a break from the headlines, take a break from social media. Just give yourself that space and opportunity to pause throughout your day because it can all become so overwhelming. So make sure you're creating those moments of pause in your life daily. So the tickets are up. A little bit of housekeeping. The tickets are up for our virtual discussion for Clap When You Land. You can grab those by visiting girlbehindthehustle.com. Clicking on the book club tab, and right underneath Clap When You Land, you'll see the tickets. You can also search for those via Eventbrite and purchase your tickets. So for the book club, the discussion, we're asking for donations to go towards Healthy Hood. So if you're not familiar with the initiative of Healthy Hood is a not-for-profit in Chicago, and their main thing is to decrease the 20-year life expectancy gap between affluent communities and communities of color here in Chicago. I love everything about their mission, and I think a lot of the things that we're working towards right now, that if we start at the beginning, whether that's food, whether that's the health, things that will create change and that we'll see the fruit in the future. So grab your tickets for that. If you've not started reading the book or if you're halfway through, you have about 2 weeks to get it together. The meeting scheduled for June 24th will be meeting online. So look forward to discussing the book with you. So today on the podcast, I am chatting with Kara Stevens. Kara Stevens is the founder of The Frugal Feminista, a thriving personal finance and personal development company committed to helping women heal their relationship with money and themselves. She wants all women to be happy, wealthy, and brave so they can unapologetically live life on their own terms. Her relatable financial advice has been featured on and in Business Insider, Huffington Post, Yahoo Finance, Essence, Women's Day Magazine, Bitch Magazine, The Washington Post, and other national recognized media outlets. She's the author of Heal Your Relationship with Money, The Happy Finances Challenge, and Unmasking the Strong Black Woman. I am so excited for you guys to hear her story and just practical tips that she's going to share with us with spending money, saving money, and how we can better manage our money. Let's get into it. Today's podcast episode is brought to you by New Heritage Brand. New Heritage is a 90s-inspired unisex clothing brand, which was relaunched by the niece of the original founders to pay homage to what her aunt and uncle created in the 90s. New Heritage was one of several sitcoms and movies in the 90s, such as Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, A Different World, Living Single, and Boomerang. You can follow the brand on Instagram at The New Heritage Brand, and also find out more at www.newheritagebrand.com. Now on to our episode.
Hi, Kara. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm fine.
Thank you. And tell listeners a little about who you are and what's your hustle.
Well, my name is Kara Stevens, and I'm the founder, CEO of a personal finance platform called The Frugal Feminista. And that hustle is all about empowering women of color, but specifically Black women, to heal their relationship with money so they can live life on their own terms. And it's my hustle because I love talking about upliftment, and I love the idea of using money as a source of that upliftment.
And where did you learn about money?
That's such a good question. I learned a lot about money from the various examples in my family. My mom was my major financial influence, in good ways and in bad ways. And I would say that on the good side, she definitely stressed the importance of education, specifically and especially for a Black girl. And she also talked about the importance of being self-sufficient. On the other side, though, because of her relationship with my dad, it ended in an acrimonious way, she never trusted men with money. So she taught me a lot, never to really trust men with money, never to really trust family members with money. And so I had this kind of very ambivalent set of beliefs around money. So I learned a lot of that from her, but I had to learn things on my own, and through therapy, I was able to create my own money story that was able to take the best of her teachings and add the ones that were serving to me as I grew as an adult.
As you started making those shifts with what she taught you versus what you've kind of learned along the way, were there any lessons that she taught you that you kind of held on to?
I would say, yeah, but I also refine them. I think that education is important, but too much education, it has diminishing returns, in the sense of going to get into debt for a law degree just to have it, just to say that you're a lawyer, is not very smart. It's not a smart money move. And especially if you don't want to be a lawyer, it's not a happiness move either. It's a dumb happiness move. And so I would say that education is important to the extent of having life lessons, and not necessarily formal education, is not, you know, formal education is not necessarily the most important type of education, but lifelong learning, I think, is my way of nuancing that and refining that idea. And I consider myself a lifelong learner, definitely, because when you learn new things, you're able to connect to new people, learn new skills, and it just opens up this world of opportunity, because you're so open to growing and seeing that, and you want to connect with other people that grow, that the opportunities and the probability of you growing and learning new things are just so high.
And along that journey, was there anything that happened or any lesson or something that you experienced that kind of led you to begin making that shift in the way that you handled your finances?
Of course. I think the biggest shift, or the biggest, I guess, life experience, was that I was unhappy. You know, I was super unhappy. I knew that in my heart, I wanted to love. I knew in my heart that I wanted to be happy, and that some of those beliefs, if I kept them, were keeping me from that happiness, you know? So I was like, well, I can't allow my mom's experiences to be my experiences with love. And I can't allow my mom's experiences with money to be my experiences. So I decided to go on a journey of a deep, like, self-reflection. And like I said at the top of the show, I started to go to therapy to kind of really reflect on some of these ideas, because what some of those ideas were doing for me were making me extremely, extremely driven, but extremely, extremely paranoid, you know, and just very, I was creating a prison of my own, you know, with all the degrees that I had and, you know, all the intelligence that I had, I was still holding and holding off on experiencing joy in a way that I knew that I needed and wanted. So it was funny enough that it was through my relationship with money that I was really able to unpack
some of the larger ideas about life and what it means to be a Black woman attached to it. So I would say it's just my level of unhappiness and knowing that there was much more out there for me other than this strong sense of work ethic, but there was no accompanying sense of a fun ethic or joy ethic or a happiness ethic. So that was one of the biggest things that helped me really move forward.
I love that you kind of went straight to the source of going to therapy with it. I think a lot of times when we think about like our money issues and things that we're trying to fix with our money, we think, okay, let me talk to a money coach or a financial advisor. But you started with shifting your mindset around money. Was there any other tools and resources you use in addition to therapy when you were trying to get back on track or, you know, shift your mind around the way you were handling your money?
Yeah. So I just want to clarify, like I went to therapy just because I was unhappy, and then it helped, you know, largely impact like the other things that I had held, the things that were making me unhappy. And one of them was my relationship with money. But I would say that journaling has helped me a lot, just being open to myself and not judging myself or not shaming myself about what I was feeling. Because a lot of times, specifically with women of color, and I would say especially Black women, who we are super ambitious in terms of degrees and, you know, lining up our accomplishments and just winning, you know, in so many ways, that it almost is very difficult for us to kind of let down our guards to ourselves and say, get, you know, that success is one thing, but happiness is another. And I think that when you're able to write that down in a journal and just be like, yo, this is exactly how I feel about what's going on in other aspects of my life and other dimensions, you begin to see patterns that emerge, and you see if there's something that you can do about it in small steps. And so that's what journaling did for me. I think art did that for me as well. Art therapy. I mean, I wouldn't draw anything, but I would go to museums and look at and look at pictures and portraits. And there were sometimes some of them just really spoke to me, that would allow me to emote whatever emotions that it connected to at some type of kind of subconscious level and allow all those feelings to go through me instead of denying them. And that was very helpful for me to let me know that I was alive, you know, and there were other parts of me, and that it was okay to not, it was okay to open myself up to new parts of me that I might have been afraid of, or parts of me that might not have been as polished, parts of me that I might not even be able to recognize, but I know that they're mine because they're in me, you know?
And you spoke about happiness. I know you wrote the book, The Happy Finances Challenge, where you talk about budgeting and an emergency fund. With everything that's going on right now, you know, how high of importance is it to have this emergency fund? How do we keep an emergency fund or start building towards it, you know, with everything going on in the market and in the world right now with finances?
Oh, yeah. I mean, happiness, a lot of times, you know, Erykah Badu talks about like, you know, how your money is funny. And I know a lot of us as Black women are like, yeah, girl, my money is funny. But I want our money to be happy. Do you know what I mean? Like, we want happy money. And I want to kind of change the conversation about that. So that was like the impetus for the book. And I think that sometimes, especially if as historically as a community that's been marginalized, we sometimes tend to shy away from looking at resources that could actually support us because we've never really had them, you know? So we are, without being overgeneralizing, Black people have had to rely on each other. So we have a lot of human capital and resources, you know, but not necessarily material ones. But now that we're moving into the echelons of being able to do that, like the upper echelons, we need to understand that it's okay to have money. It's okay. It's not anti-spiritual. It's not anti-people, especially if you're a good person to begin with. When you have a good person has more money, they're able to do good things or more good things. So I think with an emergency fund, it's super important that we have one, because an emergency fund is also a sunny day fund. It's an opportunity fund. If you know, want to look at it in a more positive light, it gives you the freedom to move forward in ways that you want to move forward at the time that you want to move forward, because you have the ability to sustain yourself. And so, and especially now that with the time of Corona, I think it's important for us to really see that coronavirus and the things that and it's shutting down of economies and companies is often too highlighting some of our financial sore spots. And for a lot of Americans, not just African Americans, we're not able to live from one paycheck to another. And that's very scary because in the event that there are furloughs and layoffs, we're going to need to sustain ourselves. So when thinking about an emergency fund, you have to think about how much, I guess, happiness can I offer myself and peace of mind and stability month to month. So when thinking about an emergency fund, think about at least 6 months of your monthly expenses, because when you have that set aside, you're able to breathe freely to figure out what you really want to do. Because maybe you do not want to go back to work right away. You want to figure some things out. You want to do some healing and self-care. Well, that costs money. Do you know what I mean? Like to be able to have your life and not have your life be disrupted and not have to think about money, just focus on improving your body, improving your mental and spiritual well-being. You're going to be your first therapist and funder. And I think when you see it that way as an opportunity for growth, an opportunity for you to just cocoon yourself to heal, I think it would bring it, it'll touch home more and hit differently when women see it that way. Because an emergency fund maybe be things that we don't want to really think about and consider. When you look at this money as a way to support your healing, that might be the better way to kind of position it, like a healing fund. So when you put your emergency fund slash healing fund there, you're able to allow yourself all this time to heal so you can figure out what you can do next. So you don't have to choose between, say, your health and your job security or your happiness and your job security.
I love that. Just thinking about it as like a happiness or a healing fund. And it just kind of refigures it in your mind so that you're looking for kind of like the purpose. Like it makes it more purposeful.
And you look forward to doing it. You're like, well, you know what? Let me get out this job. Let me just add some more money to my healing fund because, right?
What can we do right now with, I know some people have already gotten stimulus checks, some may not receive them. What can we do right now to kind of manage those funds and come out on top of this, on top financially after all of this is
Well, I
over?
think that first step is to not add more expenses to what you have. So especially now that we're home, you may be more tempted to put on all the lights, run the water longer, so just like in terms of utilities and water and heat, just make sure that you're trying to be conscious of your energy use so your bill doesn't go up. I would say that's the first thing. I would say the second thing is all the money that you're no longer paying on commuting, no longer paying on personal effects like your hair products, your nails and all those things, all that money can be saved, right? Because you're not going anywhere, right? So right, you're not going a place. So all the money and kind of look at your pre before Corona, like what were some of the things you were spending monthly on, from entertainment to brunch to girlfriends, like I said, to personal effects, to commuting, to gym memberships. All of that money is now not being used, but it's in your budget. And so I would pull that money together, pull it out of my next paycheck if you have one, or partially if you're being furloughed, and put it away into a bank account, an online bank account like Ally Bank or Capital One 360, that will help you keep the money away from you and actually see how far you can go post-corona with that same level of savings. I mean, of course, you have to do the commuting, but all the other things that you were able to do without, or you're able to reduce in terms of consumption, that money can be put aside for you. So you know that, wow, I don't really have to completely do without. I can simplify my finances without depriving myself of the fun and, the things that I enjoy in using my money.
Definitely a great time to kind of look at your budget again because even moving forward, like you said, wow, I wasn't spending this all of this time, or this is something that I was able not to have, and I still felt happy or fulfilled. So now I know that this is additional money that I can put in my savings
Or
account.
put it towards a hustle. A lot of us, I mean, I'm not part of that Instagram team that's like you need to have a, create a new business, a new body, and a new whatever by the time this corona is over. I mean, But for those of you that have been sitting on an idea and looking for time to explore that idea, this is a great time, and looking for money to fund that idea, there you have it. You can be bootstrapping right there without putting too much strain on your budget, because the money's not really being used for those things that it was being used for.
You consider money management as a form of self-care. Explain that.
Well,
I
mean, just think about it. You ever have, like, when you're broke, how do you feel? Do you know what I mean? Like, you just upset. You're in your mind thinking, dang. And you're thinking about people that owe you money possibly. Yeah. You think about the money that you wasted. Like, your thoughts and feelings just don't go to a good place, right? So times, like, with that, you may start resenting other people for the better decisions that they've made with their money. And so when thinking about self-care, because money plays a role in our quality of life, and it permeates all dimensions of our physical, like, without money, you can't go to therapy, right? Without money, you can't go to the gym. Without money, you can't buy the things that you may need for your business or anything like that. So I think that the idea that self-care and money being aligned makes a lot of sense, because it allows you to care for others as well.
What other forms of self-care do you practice?
Well, I mean, in terms of self-care, I consider my consumption of media. I try to limit it, even though sometimes I don't do it all the time, but I know I can feel it in my spirit when I've been on Instagram too long, or I've been watching TV too long, and, you know, or looking at magazines too long. And I notice that all of a sudden I want to buy this, or I look at my body differently with more scrutiny. I'm like, oh, wow. It's because I've been exposed to these images of what these ideals of beauty should be. And I start measuring myself up against them. So I limit, or when I don't limit, I'm attuned to how these things affect me, then I put myself on a pause and a timeout with those things. So that's one form of self-care, is just making sure I manage my environment, my digital, and even in terms of the people that I'm around, manage that type of input, because I can be easily influenced by those things. So I would say that's one form of self-care. I think a second form of self-care is exercise. I don't necessarily love exercise, but I love the benefits and what it does for me afterwards. So I find things like, I sometimes get a personal trainer when I can afford it. And when I can't, I do things on YouTube that are like 10-minute and 4-minute exercises. And I also have an accountability partner that we keep each other accountable. And, you know, other things, like, I enjoy my baths. You know, I have a nice loofah, you know, to scrub down my parts. And those little things of enjoying the small things in life can also be forms of self-care. And I think even just like my morning tea, I had a better morning ritual before Corona, and I'm trying, routine, but I'm trying to get back to it, and even like a nighttime routine. I think those types of things that are predictable and kind of schedule enjoy are definitely forms of self-care.
You spoke about, like, limiting social media as a form of self-care, especially right now. It's like, you get on there and someone's saying you should buy stocks, not buy stocks. Now's the time to buy a house. What do you think about all of these messages with, you know, buy stocks, buy a house right now, spend your money on this?
I have a couple levels of thoughts. I think it's their truth. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what's helped them. And maybe it may hit the audience member that it may need to hit. But I think too, also, social media is a place where people want to stand out as experts. So they're going to position themselves by saying things that would make you possibly want to listen to them. But I think in general, how people handle a crisis, the range of ways that we handle a crisis, are all valid. And I don't think that is being paid enough attention to. I think that for some people, this is a very anxious and very uncertain time, to the point where they may need some type of external support. And I'm talking about medication to help them allay their anxiety, their social isolation, and their loneliness. And I don't think there's enough conversations about that. I think sometimes on Instagram, there is a bit of a moral judgment that if you're not doing this and you're not doing that and you got all this time, then you're just not ready. It's a little stupid. I mean, I think it's very short-sighted, and I think it's a little self-serving, especially for the people that are doing it, because we don't know their support systems. We don't know their financial reserves. We don't even know if they're telling the truth, you know? So I just take it with a grain of salt, and I tend to look for more balanced, balanced accounts of what you can do. You know, because sometimes on Sundays you may feel like, you know, you could take on the world. That's the day, and on that day you take on the world, and the next day it may not feel so. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't feel like an Amazon, then you don't. You know what I mean? I think that it's important for us to take everything with a grain of salt and then listen internally to what we need to do for ourselves. And I think sometimes we put, you know, even like I have this platform, The Frugal Feminista, I don't know your finances specifically, but I can share with you best practices that have helped me. And maybe in working together, I can support you in finding your best practices, but I can never say do it this way or do it that way. And if you don't do it one way or the other, it's wrong. In general, I mean, there's some practices like with money, like, okay, if you spend more money than you make, you're going to be in debt, you know? But in terms of how you use your time during a crisis, I mean, a lot of those people aren't therapists or psychologists or psychiatrists. So those are the people that we go to for mm-hmm. support around managing our emotions during this very, very, very stressful time.
And amidst everything that's happening right now, what's next for Frugal Feminista?
There's so many things that are happening now. I know for me, what I'm trying to do is help women with a 5-day Slay Sally Mae challenge really get thoughtful about their student loan repayment. Since we're a lot of Black women, we're considered the most educated demographic in the United States. That means a lot of us are shouldering lots of student loans because we're also at the bottom of the pole in terms of net worth and wealth. So that means we're paying for our education through loans. And so just helping us create a accelerated student loan repayment plan and getting our minds and our resources structured and in a role for that. So I would say that is something I can leave a link to that. It's a 5-day challenge. And on top of that, there's just so many great things like in terms of content that's being produced with different collaborations. So in a week or so, I'll be releasing something with Blavity, a 4-week video series on financial self-care. So I would like for you guys to check that out. And just in general, there's always something brewing at the Frugal Feminista. The books, the Heal Your Relationship with Money, the Happy Finances Challenge, those are all things that are available. And people, we have conversations about it continuously. So just those things are things that we're working on.
We'll share that link to that 5-day challenge. I know more now mm-hmm. than ever that's necessary, especially with them allowing us to kind of mm-hmm. do the forbearance mm-hmm. with our loans for the time being. So it'd be great to start on that because then maybe you can even get ahead during this time too. So now's the time of the podcast that we take a moment to look at who the woman is behind the business. So what is a quote, verse, or mantra that keeps you
encouraged? My mom always used to tell me one full basket, which means basically little by little, you know, you'll be able to reach your goal.
Love that. I've never heard that. I really like that.
It's like Antigua, the brick by brick one. My family's from Antigua, so it's like one full basket always.
What is a tool or app that helps you manage your life or work?
My planner.
You cannot live without. And what book should every girl behind
the hustle? I'm kind of biased to my book, Heal Your Relationship with Money, but I would say Glenda Bridgefield's Girl, Get Your Money Straight. Like that book was everything to me and helped me understand money and being a Black woman. So I love that book. I talk about it all the time.
What's your go-to song to listen to before a meeting or to kick off?
It depends, but there's this song by Talib Kweli and it's with Nina Simone, Just to Get By. You know that song?
No, I have not heard that. And mm-hmm. I really liked him like years ago. I used to really listen mm-hmm. to him a lot. Okay, I have to look that one up. What do you want people to say about you when you aren't in the world?
I mean, that she cares and she cares and she's confident.
And fill in the blank. My name is, and one truth about the woman behind the hustle.
My name is Kara Stevens.
One truth about the woman behind the hustle.
About the woman behind the hustle is that I'm just a work in progress as well.
Thank you so much, Kara, for being on the show today. Please let our listeners know how they can connect with you, where they can find your books at, and where they can sign
great.
Up for your
5-day
challenge.
Thank you so much, Elsie. So you can find me on social media, Frugal Feminista on Instagram and on Twitter, and The Frugal Feminista on Facebook. And you can go to my site, The Frugal Feminista, and you can find links to my books there as well on the site, which will get you to Amazon to be able to purchase those books.
All right. Thank you so much. You're welcome. I truly appreciate your time. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope that you found these tips from Kara useful. I love when she stated to take the money that we have not been using just on the stuff like going out to eat, going for drinks with friends, our commuting budget, all of that stuff, how we can kind of redirect it to our savings and afterwards end up on top or even ahead of things that we weren't able to manage before. So I would love to hear what you thought of the episode. Please feel free. Shoot, my DMs are always open at Girl Behind the Hustle on IG or Facebook, or feel free to shoot over an email to heygirl@girlbehindthehustle.com. Until next week, hustle and grace.